read is over in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. And this was the song of Hannah. But there's something in here. And the thought that it goes right along with that song that Sister Oaks did at the offering time. There our God reigns. And this thought came to me this week. And there is so much in Scripture that we could talk about on this. But there is no God like our God. There is no God like our God. There are many gods in this world, but there is no God like our God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you will help us, God. Lord, that your blessing will be upon this as we expound this and talk about you today, God, and how there is no God like our God. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. And this is Hannah's, the song of Hannah. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. How important is God to you today? Or does God, for many people, God becomes a choice. It's like, well, I don't have anything better to choose, so I'll choose God to help me in this situation. And for us as believers, it should never be that way. We should come to the reality that there is no God like our God. There are many things that you can turn to. Many people in this world, their God has become their money, their source of income. They look to that to answer all their needs, to take care of all their situations and problems. But we must remember, and it's true that we need money, but there's no God like our God. God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. When we're falling short on money, we need to look to God. We don't need to look to get a better job. We don't need to look how we're going to move finances around and do this and that. We need to look to God. There's no God like our God. It's our God that supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. And when you run into situations and problems, where do you look? Sometimes we need legal help. I'm not dumb. I realize that. There's issues and things that go on, and we have to seek legal advice. But also, don't forget, there is no God like our God. God can bring you through situations where legal advice is needed to be sought, and that God can give you wisdom and knowledge how to work those things out and do it, because we're serving a mighty God. And so Hannah, in her prayer here, she said, there is none holy as the Lord. There is nobody that is as holy as God is, and God's holiness. We know in Hebrews 12 and 14, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. God's a holy God. God has a holy people today. There is none holy like the Lord. We can't measure up to God's holiness, our own righteousness. In God's eyes, it's viewed as filthy rags. We do the best that we can do, and we're still falling short of God's glory. And so without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And what is it that makes you and I holy? It is the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to our hearts. That is what makes us holy. That is what makes you holy. There are other things that you can add in there if you would like to do it, but in essence and in reality, it's having been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes you holy. That is what makes you acceptable, so that you can go boldly, amen, into the throne of grace before God, because you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not to say that other things that follow with that, that God wants us to live separate from this world, to not be like this world. That has some things to do with holiness, but the main thing with holiness is having the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, because God makes us holy. Without the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to my life, I can live in a way that I think is holy. I can abstain from certain things. I can dress a certain way. I can not go to certain places, and I can think, because I do these things, that makes me acceptable before God. God looks at that and he says, that's hogwash. He says, what you need is the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. That is what makes you holy. That is what's going to put you into the presence of God. You can come into that holy place because of that shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when did that happen? That's when Jesus was dying upon the cross. We're at the time of his birth now, but when Jesus Jesus was dying up on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." The scripture tells us that curtain in the Holy of Holies, it was split in twain. In other words, it broke into two parts from top to bottom. And the significance of that is now, because Jesus died and we accept the work that he did, the redemptive work that he did, we can go boldly into the throne of grace. You can go into the Holy of Holies today because God's a holy God, and because you accepted the work, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that makes you holy. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 7, God calls us into sanctification. God wants us to be a holy people. We're a peculiar people. We're a peculiar treasure. We do things differently. We don't do everything that the world does because we have Jesus living on the inside. You could argue with me all day if you wanted to, but I don't believe that when Jesus Christ was here upon this earth, he was participating in everything that the world was doing. They were doing some crazy things back in the day. They were doing some things that were unholy things. You can't convince me that Jesus was involved in those kinds of things. He was living a separated life from this world. He was in this world, but he was not of this world. We are living in this world, but God doesn't want us to be a part of this world system and all that it has to offer. And as I said a few moments ago here, that pulls so hard upon us because we hear the voice of the world, and it's the way they're going, and we're tempted to go that way, but God calls us on to sanctification. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, talking about holiness. In Isaiah 35, 8, it talks about a highway of holiness. Amen. A way of holiness before God. And that scripture there says, the fools don't go on that highway. They don't go on that highway of holiness before God. And the unclean don't travel on it. I want to walk on the highway of holiness. I want to live pure and right in God's eyes, in God's sight. I want, when he looks at me, I want him to say, there's my holy son, and he's holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we get to the nitty-gritty of it, God would be able to say, yes, there's some things in him that aren't so right, that aren't so perfect, but the blood of Jesus Christ is applied, and there's a sanctification process that is happening in him, and he is pliable in my hands, and he is giving himself into my way and into my wills. And when the trumpet sounds and when I go, they're going to rise from the ground. They're going to meet me in the air because they're striving to be holiness. But that highway of holiness, the fools don't go there. And so if you're not seeking holiness in your life today and walking close to God, it's safe for me to say you're a fool, because the fools don't go that way. Do you want to be a fool? Somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, they're going aimlessly. The people that are going aimlessly, amen, in their travels to the kingdom of God, and they're not walking in that highway of holiness, they're a foolish people. And then the unclean don't tread upon it. God, keep me clean, keep me pure, keep me holy, keep my mind holy, keep my thoughts pure, keep my speech clean, guide my steps that I go into the right places. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it can be difficult because our circumstances are all different. The way, the places that we live and the company that we have, not necessarily by choice whenever you're younger and you're living in your parents' home. Not by choice, all the company and people that might come around there, but God can keep you clean. God can keep you holy, because it says, there is none holy as the Lord. God is holy. God is a very holy God. And as God is holy, he is also our refuge. He is also our refuge. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 31. Their rock, it says, I'm going to turn over there because it's an interesting scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm going to look at verse 31. Deuteronomy 32 and 31. I'm glad I'm serving this God that I serve, because there's no God like him. It says it this way, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judgment. Being judges. Their rock isn't like our rock. The world has a rock today. What's some of the rocks that the world leans upon? It's upon their finances. Some of the rocks that they lean upon, We would say, oh, that's not a good rock, but it is a rock for them. But it's a rock that crumbles and falls. They lean upon alcohol. They lean upon drugs. They lean upon relationships that aren't approved of in the Word of God. They lean upon many things. That becomes their rock. So God is our refuge. And the rock of this world, it isn't like our rock. Our rock is steadfast and sure. He is always there. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, and He's the God that we're still serving today. And He said, I change not. Amen. The God that parted the Red Sea is the God that we're serving today. The God that spoke this world into existence is the God that we're serving today. And any other gods that are out there, they're not like the God that we're serving. And there are other gods out there, but they're not the true and the living God. And we think about the showdown that the prophet had with the prophets of Baal to prove who the living and the true God was. And they took those barrels of water, amen, and the false gods, they called upon their God morning until noon. I think it was mid-afternoon. It might even have been towards evening that fire would come down, and the prophet started to make fun of them. He said, hey, perhaps your God is asleep, but He's not here, and maybe you need to call a little louder. And then the Bible tells us that those people begin to cut their skin. They begin to cut themselves, calling upon their God to answer them. But their God did not answer them. Why? Because they had a God that didn't have ears, and He couldn't hear. He doesn't have eyes, He can't see. He doesn't have hands, He can't help. Amen. But the God that we're serving is alive, and He's real, and He has ears, and He has a mouth, and He has hands, and He has feet, and He can help us. And we're serving that true and living God. And so there's no God like our God. And so whenever it come time for the prophet to prove, for God to prove who He was, He had His sacrifice there. And He says, wait a minute, before I call fire down from heaven, I want you to take 12 barrelfuls of water. And I don't know if they were 55-gallon drums, but when I think of a barrel, I think of a 55-gallon barrel, 50-gallon barrel. And they dumped those 12 barrels of water upon that sacrifice and around that altar. And now what kind of a God can come down and burn up a sacrifice like that that's saturated with water? Because we all know this, if something's wet, it don't burn. Have you ever been out in the great outdoors starting to try to start a fire when it's been raining a lot and it's hard to find anything that you can even get a little fire going in because it's just damp, not necessarily saturated? But this sacrifice that He had there, it was saturated. And when He called upon His God, the God that we served, it said fire came down out of heaven and it consumed that sacrifice and the water and everything that was on that altar. There is no God like our God. Don't let the world convince you that you're foolish, that you're a fanatic, that you're a whole roller, that you're this, that you're that. You got to remember that there's no God like our God, that like the God that we are serving. There are gods in this world, but not like the God that we're serving. Psalms chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to turn over there. Psalms chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. I'm over in Proverbs. I mean, I got to back up a little bit to get into Psalms chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. It says this here. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. And what do you trust today? Some trust in chariots and horses, and there's a lot of analogies that you could put in there. We trust in the government to help us. We trust that our bank account's going to take care of us. We trust that mom and dad's going to take care of us, and it should to a certain point, but they're not going to get every little thing you want, okay? You girls in the front row here, I don't know what it is that girls want. You probably don't want a four-wheeler. Some of you might want one. But it doesn't mean that mom and dad are going to be able to provide that for you. But we don't trust in mom and dad for everything. We don't trust in the government. We don't trust in our job for everything. We got to be careful what we trust in. It says some will trust in those chariots and horses. We trust. We live in the United States of America. I trust the military that we have. We're the mightiest military power that there is in the world, so they say, and that's in question right now, is what some of the other countries are doing. Nobody can defeat us. We can trust in the system that we have. Some do that, but it says what we're going to choose to do as His children We will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're going to trust in God. God is going to help us. Another scripture said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so these people that trust in these chariots and some in horses, it says, they are brought down and fallen. They come to naught. It doesn't work well for them. But what happens to those that trust in the Lord and remember the name of the Lord their God? The end of verse 8 says, we are risen and we stand upright. I always want to stand for the name of the Lord our God. There is no God like our God. And there are songs that have been written, songs that are sung about that. There's good songs out there. If you have to brainwash yourself, some would say that's what we're doing. We have to make this a reality in our life. There is no God like my God. Whatever news you get this week, whatever happens, you have to remember, but there's no God like my God. I remember Pastor Dave Eastman in the sharing of the testimony a couple of years ago when they got the news that their grandson had leukemia, and right off the bat he had a straight talk with those doctors, and the doctors were surprised how well it appeared that they were handling getting news like this. But Pastor Dave said, in essence, and what he said to them, you don't realize something. We're a praying family, and we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe in God. And in reality, what he was saying to them, doctor, you don't know the God that we're serving. There's no God like our God. Our God can conquer this thing in this young man. We have to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can lean on the chariots and horses. They could have leaned on the arm of flesh. They could have leaned on all the medical things that they were able to do for that young boy to help him, and they have helped him in many ways, but they choose to trust in the Lord their God. Amen. Who do you choose to trust in today? I choose that you choose, amen, make the choice to trust in the Lord your God. Amen. It's the decision that you have to make. We don't know the things that we're going to face. Reality slaps us in the face sometimes. And yeah, it shakes us a little bit. It makes us tremble a little bit. But we have to remember, there's no God like my God. There is nothing impossible with the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do I like the situation that I am? And do I enjoy the situation, the place that I am in life? Perhaps you don't. Amen. But you have to remember, there's no God like my God. My God can deliver me. My God can help me. I think about the time that the prophet was there and the servant was with him, and the enemy was encamped around them. They were in a valley. They were going to get taken. This is only two people. And the enemy was very upset with them. But the prophet looked around, and he seen the angels of the Lord were around that mountaintop. And the angels of the Lord, the word of God says, encampeth around about those or them that in him. If you have a fear and a respect of God today, the angels of the Lord are encamping around about you. Amen. For your protection, for your good. Amen. To bring blessings upon you. That's what I want in my life. But that young servant, he couldn't see that. And what did the prophet say? In so many words, he says, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And when he looked, he seen a heavenly host surrounding the mountains that were around them. And you can read that story. God brought deliverance to them. God cares about you. God cares about what you're going through this morning. And his angels are encamped around about you for your protection. There is no God like the God you're serving. There is nowhere else you can turn to and get help like you can get help from God. And you need to be sold on that idea. That needs to be instilled within your heart. That seed of faith needs to grow within your heart. I don't know what you're going to do, but I call upon the name of the Lord my God. Amen. You can choose to trust in chariots and horses. You can choose to trust in men. But I choose to follow God. Joshua said it. He made the proclamation. And there's some of us that perhaps maybe we need to do that. Joshua at one point said, you know, we can do all these other things, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord our God. And he didn't say this, but what he was saying, because there's no God like our God. I'm not going to trust any anything else. I'm going to trust in this God of Israel and this God of heaven. Isaiah chapter 30, I'm turning over there. Isaiah chapter 30, in our subject this morning is There is no God like our God. Amen. No God like our God. We don't have anything to fear as long as we are serving God. And as Jesus, amen, as the disciples were out there up on the water, amen, and you all know the story about the storm came up, and it was a bad storm, and they were out there on that water, and they looked, and they seen somebody walking to them on the water. Amen. They were in the midst of a storm, and Jesus came to them, and Peter got out of that boat, and he walked up on that water. There's no God like our God. At the lowest time in your life, Jesus is there. You just need to look around and see where he is. Sometimes you're going to feel all alone, but he's there. Sometimes you're going to feel like Jesus is sleeping in the midst of the thing that you're facing. Like that one time they was in the boat and there was a big storm. Where was Jesus? He was in the bow of the boat, I guess in the front of the boat, and he was fast asleep, and they went to him. Amen. And this was a reality they could do. And they said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? We're sleeping. You're going to go down with us. And Jesus got up and he rebuked the storm. There will be times in your life where you're going to feel the enemy's going to give you the idea and the feeling that God is asleep, that God doesn't care, that he doesn't know what's going on in your life. But it's at those times that we need to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because there is no God like our God. Amen. Who are you going to call upon in your dark hour? Are you going to call the lawyer? Are you going to call the grandparents? Are you going to call your parents? Are you going to call a friend? What are you going to call upon? Amen. I want to call upon somebody that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. And that's Jesus. Amen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is no God like our God. Isaiah chapter 30, the first two verses. And so what was Israel doing here? They were trusting in Egypt. Egypt was going to help them. There are a lot of people today in this country of the United States of America that are trusting in the government. They're going to figure it out. They're going to set it right for us. We're going to choose to trust in them. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about Israel when they chose to trust in Egypt rather than trusting in God. Woe, Isaiah chapter 30, the first two verses. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Then that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. They were rebellious children, and make sure that you're not a rebellious child of God today. And these children of Israel here, they had a plan, but it wasn't God's plan. What plan do you have today for the dilemmas that you're facing in life? Make sure that your plan is God's plan. If it's God's plan, God's going to be included in it. Amen. There's no God like our God. And so in their plan, they decided that they were going to go down to Egypt. They were going to go lean upon the arm of flesh without consulting and without asking God. They just thought this is common sense and this isn't in the Bible, but a lot of people probably think it is. God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that? God helps those who help themselves. Well, where's that at in the Bible? You know, explain that one to me. So these people decided that they were going to go down to Egypt, which signifies the arm of the flesh, without consulting God. If you are going to seek help from elements within this world, consult with God first. Say, God, I'm in this situation. I know there's no God like you are. God, are you okay if I head in this direction and if I look in this area to receive the help that I need? You would then maybe get God's blessing upon it, or God might tell you, no, don't go in that direction. But Israel just decided that they were going to go there. They were going to go without asking him, and they were going to take refuge in Pharaoh. They were going to take refuge in the arm of the flesh, and they were seeking shelter and safety in Egypt's shadow. I don't want to seek shelter and safety in the government of the United States of America. Amen. I want to seek shelter and safety in God, because there's no God like our God. Amen. There's no God like your God if you're serving the true and the living God. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 says this: We worship God and put no confidence in the flesh. Can you say that? If you can say that, then there is no God like our God. There's no God like my God. What do? I worship God, and I don't put any confidence in the flesh. I don't look to man. I don't expect my answer to come from man. I pray to God, and God may speak to a man. It may come through a man, but the idea is we look to God first. We look to him. There's no God like our God. Sometimes we think we know how God's going to work and move, and we'll immediately go to that arm of flesh. We'll go to that individual or person that's always been there to pull us out and help us, and we're not consulting God. Amen. The situations and issues of life, you need to consult God. You need to call upon his name, recognizing that there's no God like my God, and I'm not going to get myself into a quagmire if I go to God and seek his guidance. Amen. Another one of the things that God is for us, and I'm going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, the reliability of God. There's no God like our God. And the things that we've looked at so far, amen, just a few things about our God, the holiness of God, that God is our refuge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, there is no God like our God in reliability. It says this, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. He is reliable. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. When you're feeling down low and you're feeling down and out and you're feeling like you're all alone, God is faithful. And I'm going to add this in. God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. God will always keep his word. He won't go back on his promises. If we go down like Israel did in Isaiah chapter 30 that I read there, if we go down into Egypt and lean on the arm of flesh, that doesn't stop God from being faithful to us. God is still faithful. We come back to our senses, back to the reality. Amen. God is faithful. He is reliable. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4 talks about it this way. The rock. Amen. This God that we serve, this work is perfect. His ways are just. He's a God of faithfulness. He's righteous and he's upright. There's no God like our God. His work is perfect. You don't know what's going on in your life. God's working out his perfect will in your life. As long as you submit yourself to God, we can throw we can cause a debunkle to happen in the will of God because we step out of the will of God as Jonah did. Amen. God was working his perfect will in Jonah. He had a message. He had something he wanted to do. But Jonah threw a monkey wrench in the middle of it, and he went off in his own ways for a while, but he came back to his senses, realizing that there's no God like my God. Amen. I don't want to have to go the way that Jonah went. I don't want to have to go the way I think it was that Balaam went. Amen. Where the donkey talked to him. He threw a monkey wrench into the will of God. I want to be in there just to obey God. I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to be like Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. I want to be like David was when he was a shepherd boy and he went down there into the land and he's seen the Philistine and he's seen that giant there and all the rest of the children of Israel, including the king. Oh, they were full of fear. They weren't realizing at that time, hey, there's no God like our God. What are we doing? Why are we hiding from this giant? We can go take him. But David came down there and he realized there was no God like his God, and he went against that giant. And what did he say? How did he go against that giant? He didn't say, I come to you in my own power, my own strength, and my own might. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, because he realized who God was. And when you realize who God is, you can put the devil to place in your life. When he comes against you, you can say, I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Amen. The devils will fear. The devils will tremble. The demons will run. They'll quake. They'll get away from that power of God. God is reliable. He is always there to help us. Psalms chapter 78 and verse 35, talking about the reality of God. And I thank God that he's reliable. Just think, if God wasn't reliable, how confusing would that be for us? It would be very confusing. You go to God one time and he helps you. You go to God another time and he doesn't help you. Where's the faithfulness of God? Where's the reliability of God if that were the situation? Psalm 78:35 says this, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. And this is when Israel was being punished by God. If you throw a monkey wrench in it, a debunkle, whatever you want to call it, you can be like Jonah. You can be like the prophet that the donkey had to talk to him. You could be like Peter, who even he cursed and swore and denied he even knew who Jesus was. You get yourself into a situation and it's not good. What happens? Then we can come to this point. They will remember that God was their rock. It was much better when I was serving God. Peter, it was much better when I was trusting in the Lord. It was much better when I was trusting in God. Jonah, when he was in the belly of the fish, he had time to do some reflection and to realize I was much better. It was much better for me when I was obeying God, even though I didn't want to really go the direction he wanted me to go. That was a better way to go. But they remembered that God was their rock and their redeemer. There might be some of you here this morning that need to remember that God is your rock. And he's your redeemer. You're frustrated. You're going this way. You're going that way. And you're bumping against the wall here and bumping against the wall there. Just like a little bumper car going around, not being able to find the answer that you need. Maybe you need to remember that God is your rock. Go to God. Amen. God can give you the answer to the situation that you're in, the problem that you're facing. And it finishes up and say, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God, their redeemer. He is my redeemer. Isaiah chapter 44. I know we're looking at a lot of verses this morning, but that's okay. Isaiah chapter 44. And we're going to look at verse 8. We're talking about our great God. There is no God like our God. Isaiah 44:8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. There's a song. Who am I going to run to? Who am I going to turn to? And we come back to that one. I go to God. Amen. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Amen. And I cry to God in the mountain, and however it goes, and it stands by me. We remembered God. Amen. We have to remember who God is, as they did in this verse. Is there a God beside me? No. There's many gods out there, but is there a God like me? There's no God like our God. No. It says, there is no God, I know not any. There's nobody that can help you like God can help you. We have to come to that reality. I don't want to come to that reality after I've been running around like a bumper car, running in against this, running in against that. Then I remember, oh, now I remember God wants to help me. God can take care of this. It should be the opposite way. In our time of need, we go to God. Amen. We don't tremble. We don't be afraid. Amen. Don't you know that is there any God besides me or any other rock? I know of none. There's none other than God that can help us, and God wants to help us today. We're already in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. And you can start at the beginning in Genesis and go through the Word of God, and you can see God's hand working and moving down through the generations in the lives of hearts and of men and people. Amen. Throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. And then we can see this become a reality to us. We have to remember the former things of old. Remember what God did in the Old Testament. Remember, you can bring it up to a reality. Remember what God has already done in your life. Whatever you're facing today, oh, this is an impossibility. When we want an answer, we want an answer. When we don't get an answer, we get frustrated real easy because we want an answer. We want it right now. Not everything is going to happen that way. God doesn't operate on a timetable like we operate on a timetable. And we want it, and we want it now. We just have to be patient. We have to wait upon the Lord. We have to let God, we have to acknowledge that God is the one. God's going to give me the answer. God's going to give me a breakthrough in this situation. And I'm trusting in the Lord my God. And I remember those times times when he did it. For I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Nobody. There's an old black spiritual, Negro spiritual. Ain't nobody can do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like the Lord. And that's how they say it. There ain't nobody can do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Well, there can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. We have to be convinced of that. We have to get that down in our heart. Let that seed of faith arise that God is the one that can give me the answer. It's a hopeless, it's a helpless, it's a lost situation. They're just a lost soul. There's no help for them. There is help for everybody. Amen. If they look to the Lord their God. Amen. There is none like me. Everything that is going on in your life and in my life, this is what we don't like to hear, and you've heard it before. The saved as well as the unsaved say this. Everything happens for a reason. Could anybody in here really lift your hand and say, yeah, everything's just going wonderful in my life today. I don't have any questions. Everything's just so beautifully flowing together. No, we all have something going on in our life that we don't like. We don't understand it. We want to know the whys. We want to know the wherefores. Well, the Word of God tells us that everything happens for a reason. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. It's working for the good in your life. You think about some of the other difficult things that you've gone through before in your life, and they were very uncomfortable situations, and God gave you the answer. The problem was resolved. The situation was fixed. And then you can say, I seen the hand of God in it at that time. We're remembering the former things. But the situation when you're in it right now, it's like you're not liking it. I don't like some of the things that I have to face, some of the situations that I'm facing. But I remember what God has done before, and God's working it out for my good. And when I get over this mountain, it's going to help me to grow in him. It's going to help me so that I can help others. And I'm going to be able to see how God brought glory in this situation, because that's the kind of God that we're serving. The last scripture I have is in the book of Hebrews, back over in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13, Hebrews 4:13. It says this, and basically what this is telling us, God knows what is going on with you. It gets real personal. Creator, maker of this universe, look at all the problems in this world. How does God have time for me? God cares about you because there's no God like our God. Let's read this verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows what is going on with you today. There is no God like our God. As Sister Oaks can come down to the piano here this morning. Amen. No God like our God. We're at the Christmas season, and if you want to do, you know, it might not be ethical or nice to say it this way, but if you want to do a God a favor, accept the gift of his son. That's the greatest gift that was ever given, was his son coming into this world. And there's many people that feel justified in just knowing about Jesus. That doesn't cut it. Just to know about Jesus. Yeah, he came, he died. I know about that, so I'm justified because I know it. I believe he did that. It's more than that. Amen. God knows what's going on in your life today. God wants to help you today. Amen. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. The dead are dead. They're gone. Right now, God wants to help you in the situation that you're facing. Let's stand to our feet this morning.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Going to
sing that song this morning, and if anybody wants prayer, I mean, you don't have to tell me what the issue or situation is, but you heard this morning, you're thinking, yeah, I've been falling short. I'm not remembering that there's no God like my God, and I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm bumping against the wall, I'm bumping against the wall, I'm bumping against the ceiling, I'm bumping against the floor, I'm just like in a box, I can't get out of it. We're going to sing this song, I Go to the Rock of My Salvation, and you can come down here this morning, and we will agree together with you in prayer that God will help you, amen, that it will become a reality to you, not just those nice words, oh, there's no God like our God, oh, it sends a chill chilled on my spine. But it's got to be personal to you. There's no God like the God I serve, because he's met me before. I know he can meet me again. I go to the rock of my salvation. Amen. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. We'll sing that. Amen. And if you don't need prayer, don't want to come down here, amen, for me to agree in prayer with anything particular going on in your life, as we're singing this, make it a matter of prayer. God, I always want you to be my God. There's no other God like you. God, I want to honor you. I want to reverence you. I want to serve you. God, I want to take this God that I'm serving and show him to the rest of this world. Amen. I go to the rock of my salvation.